Bhagavad Lila, 10th canto, Lord Krishna fights with Banasura, chapter 63. In the absence of Aniruddha, his relatives in Dwarka continue to lament during the 4 months of the rainy season, because Aniruddha was kidnapped by Chitralekha and shacking up with Usha, Banasura's virgin daughter, in the palace in a village called Shonitpur. Narada Muni went to Dwarka and told everyone the whole story about Usha and Aniruddha and Chitralekha. Krishna and Balaram leading the army of Yadavas, they took 12 Akshohini divisions and went to surround Shonitpur. Banasura, seeing his city being attacked and the walls and gardens on the outskirts of his city being destroyed by the Yadavas, he became enraged and sent 12 Akshohini soldiers of equal size to engage in battle. Lord Shiva, riding upon Nandi as bull carrier, became the army's commander-in-chief, and he was assisted by his sons, Ganapati and Kartikeya, and many ghostly followers. The fighting that followed was so fierce that whoever saw it was astonished that his hair stood on end. Shiva fought with Krishna. Pradyumna fought Shiva's son, Kartikeya. And Balaram fought Kumbhanda. Samba contended with Bana's son, and Satyaki fought with Banasura. News of the battle spread all over the universe, so all the demigods headed by Brahma came to watch the fight. International Heavyweight Championship. With his Sharanga bow, Krishna drove away all the Bhutas, Pramatas, Guyakas, Dakinis, Pretas, Muttas, Pishachas, Kushmandas, and Brahmarakshasas, and all the other ghostly followers of Lord Shiva. In response, Lord Shiva released many celestial weapons, but Lord Krishna easily counteracted them all. At last, Lord Shiva released his personal weapon named Pashupati Parashtra. But Krishna countered it with his own Narayanastra. As Shiva was thus confounded, Krishna took the opportunity to release his yawning weapon. As a result, Lord Shiva began to yawn while giving up all desire to continue fighting. Leaving aside Lord Shiva, Lord Krishna proceeded to strike down Banasura's army with his sword, club, and arrows. Meanwhile, Kartikeya became so oppressed by the flood of Pradyumna's arrows raining down upon him, he ran from the battlefield on his peacock carrier, blood pouring profusely from his wounds. Balaram killed Kumbhanda with his club. Thus bereft of their leader, Banasura's soldiers fled in all directions. Seeing his army decimated, Banasura became extremely angry. He charged across the battlefield on his chariot and directly attacked Krishna. In the frenzy of the battle, Bana finally got the chance to utilize his 1,000 arms by simultaneously pulling the strings of 500 bows while fixing 2 arrows upon each string. So he is shooting 1,000 arrows at a time. Lord Hari broke all of Bana's bows while at the same time striking down his driver, smashing his chariot and killing his horses. After accomplishing this feat, Krishna blew his Panchajanya conch shell. There was a devi named Kottara who Banasura worshipped like a mother. When Kottara Devi saw that Banasura's life was in danger, she came before Krishna naked with scattered hair. To avoid seeing the naked goddess, Krishna turned his face away. And in that moment of distraction, Banasura fled from the battlefield and re-entered his palace. At this time, Shiva woke up from his yawning and reappeared on the scene. And as a last resort, he utilized his ultimate weapon, the Shiva Dwara. Something like an atomic bomb. This weapon produces the terrible heat that is created at the time of dissolution, when the sun becomes 12 times hotter than normal. This weapon that he released, the Shiva Dwara, was personified. It had three heads with three eyes in each head. It was nine eyes. And three legs and six arms. And it attacked Krishna, seemed to burn everything to ashes, like Yamaraj at the time of devastation. In response, Krishna released his own weapon called Vishnu Dwara, which produces excessive cold. As the two weapons clashed, the temperature of Shiva Dwara gradually reduced, causing it to cry out in pain, appealing to his master. But in the presence of the Narayan Dwara, Lord Shiva could do nothing to help. So at last, Shiva Dwara fearfully surrendered to Lord Krishna and prayed, Namami Tva Ananta Shaktim Paresham Sarvatmanam Kevalam Gyapti Matram Vishvatpati Stana Samrodahitum Yattad Brahma Brahma Lingam Prashantam. The Shiva Dwara weapon said, personified, I bow down to you, Supreme Lord Krishna, who has unlimited potencies. You are the Supersoul of all beings. You possess pure and complete consciousness and are the cause of the cosmic creation, maintenance, and dissolution. Perfectly peaceful, you are the absolute truth to whom the Vedas indirectly refer. You have ananta shakti. I understand that your powers are greater than even those of my master, Lord Shiva. So then Shiva Dwara explains how Krishna is supreme by saying, Shiva is a controller, but you are the supreme controller, Parish. You are the super soul of every living entity, including Lord Shiva. You are composed of pure spiritual consciousness, kevalam gyapti matram, without any mixture of maya, but my master Shiva is mixed with maya. You are the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the universe, whereas my master Shiva is only the destroyer. You are indicated by the Vedas, and you are called Brahmalingam, whereas Shiva is represented merely by the sounds such as dentals and gutturals. You are perfectly peaceful Brahman, whereas Shiva is a ferocious Brahman. Ugra Brahman, you are a Prashant Brahman. Kalo devam karma jiva subhavo dravyam shetram prana atma vikaraha tat sangato bijaroho pravahas tvanmayasha tan nishedam prapadye. Shiva Dwara said, O Krishna, time, fate, karma, the jiva and its propensities, the subtle material elements, the material body, life air, false ego, the senses, the totality of all of these is reflected as the living being's subtle body, lingash deha. All this constitutes your material illusory energy, maya, an endless cycle like that of seed and plant. I take shelter of you, the negation of this maya. Action generated from the body produces another body. This continuous flow is your maya. Though the living entity is different from maya, because of being controlled by maya, he is enamored by it. The conditioned soul accepts the material body in order to enjoy the material world. The body is the seed of his future material existence. Because when a person acts with the body, he creates further reactions, karma, which grow into the obligation to accept another material body. In other words, material life is a chain of actions and reactions. Therefore, I take shelter of you, the limit of negation. Your body and senses are non-different from your pure spiritual existence and are not Maya. Nanabhaver lilayavopapaner devan sadun loka setun vibarshi hamsyun margan himsayavartamanan janmaitate barharaye bhume. Shivadvara continues, my lord, Krishna may object, but if I am like this, then why is there seen in me the material qualities of attachment and hatred revealed by my showing favor? Lord Shiva responds, you desire, let me protect the devotees who are favorable to me and kill the demons who are inimical to my devotees. You accept such intentions out of affection for your devotees. In your pastimes, you protect the demigods like Indra, devotees and saintly persons, who act as the shelter for the people of the world, and you destroy those who transgress the path of religion. Therefore, your liking and disliking, being aspects of your quality of affection for your devotees, are not products of Maya. Thus I have understood that you have appeared to relieve the burden of the earth, who is your exalted devotee. Taptuham te tejasa tusahena shanto grinen nat yobanena dwarena tavattapo dehinam te tingrimulam no sevaranyavad ashanu bhadha. I am tortured by the fierce power of your terrible fever weapon, which is cold yet burning. All embodied souls must suffer as long as they remain bound to material ambitions and thus averse to serving your lotus feet. I cannot praise you any longer because the weapon sent by you is tormenting me with both cold and burning. Someone may say, it is fitting that you suffer since you cause suffering to others. Shivadvara answers, those who do not surrender to your feet deserve to suffer, but now I have become your devotee. Krishna replied, O three-headed one, I am pleased with you. May your fear of my fever weapon be dispelled, and may whoever remembers our conversation here have no reason to fear you. Vanasura came riding forth to attack Krishna. Krishna cut off all his arms, and Shiva, being compassionate for his devotee Vanasura, approached Krishna and spoke, you are the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Light, mystery hidden within the verbal manifestation of the Absolute. Those whose hearts are spotless can see you, for you are uncontaminated like the sky. You've offered many beautiful prayers, Lord Krishna. And Shiva said to Krishna in his prayers, one who has obtained the human form of life as a gift from God, yet who fails to control his senses and honor your feet, is surely to be pitied, for he's only cheating himself. And after glorifying Krishna, Lord Shiva prays for bhakti from the Lord. O Krishna, birth after birth, I worship you alone to attain the highest liberation of Apavarga, a pure love of Godhead, characterized by unalloyed devotional service unto you. Then he begs that Krishna will forgive his devotee Banasura and give him a promotion like he gave to Prahlad. And Krishna replied, Shiva will do whatever you like. I will not kill this Banasura, because I promised Prahlad I would not kill any of his descendants. And Prahlad's son was Vairochan. Vairochani, and this Banasura is the son of Vairochani. But to cut down Banasura's pride, I cut off all his arms and defeated him. Because he was a burden on the earth. The demon still has four arms, and he'll be immune to old age and death. And he will serve as one of your principal attendants, Lord Shiva. Then Shukadeva concludes his story with a benediction. Whoever rises early in the morning and remembers Lord Krishna's victory over Shiva, Banasura, and Shiva's Shivadwara in his battle with Shiva will never experience defeat.